hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life. We're on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. All right. So this evening, dedicating tonight's edition to the Nigeria issue. For listeners of this program, you've heard it so many times. I've talked about it and all. But this evening, I'm talking to someone in Nigeria, and we'll be discussing it. And you know, yesterday I was in a Zoom conference organized in Nigeria, a Christian journalist, and I joined. And the issue is very disheartening. It's very disheartening. But you know, it's even more worrying when you have some Christians denying that something like that, of that magnitude, is happening, and you just wonder to what end, what is the motive, what do they stand to gain? I mean, it's quite strange. The biggest shocker is a Catholic priest, a Reverend Father, who is a governor, and he denies this is happening in the States, and yet people are being killed. And so you just wonder how this whole thing is going. But anyway, we'll talk about it. So this evening, the news is just brief so that we can have more time to talk about this with the Nigerian friend. Okay, so this week a few things happened. You know, let's start in Ghana. We have the National Cathedral issue coming up again by the Christian Council. And seriously, there's only one word I can use. I was very disappointed in them, because in this state of our economy, how can this be a priority now? And, you know, sometimes the pastor just put themselves up for unnecessary attacks, and this is one of such. I mean, of all the issues happening in the country, is this the best thing you can go to the presidency to discuss, that the National Cathedral should be considered again? Of all the important things bordering Christianity in this country, a cathedral is what is our utmost priority. Oh no, it's very disheartening. You know, you sometimes ask yourself, what is the end point? Yes, we have it, and then what? We have the cathedral, and then what? Is this what would make Christianity what it should be in the land? No. I mean, you and I know that clearly. It's not the edifice that will make Christianity Christianity. So why this whole noise about it? Anyway, I like the president's response that, well, forensic audit is being done, and after that, before we can know the way forward. And I mean, that's something. It's not something worth wasting our time on and our money on at all. All right, so Nigeria, all over the news, world news, all over the place. And Nicki Minaj was talking about it as well at the UN, and it's like this has gotten that far that Nicki Minaj was talking about the Nigerian Christian attacks at the UN. And I was shocked when I saw a Nigerian radio or TV show, morning show, and one host, one panelist, a journalist, I mean, he's quite elderly, attacking, making Minaj for talking about the Nigerian issue. She should concern herself with other things. But, and it's like, so this is where you keep wondering that you have Nigerians who see nothing wrong. And they will say they are Christians, I mean, as well. And, you know, when you see these things and you think it is somebody's problem, someone else's problem, it's the biggest mistake you can make, because you should read about the actual agenda when Boko Haram started. Their leader, forgotten his name, his earlier statements those times. The agenda is not just dominating the northern part of Nigeria, no. The agenda is to take over the whole country, have the Sharia instituted and all the caliphates and all. The same for IS, ISWAP, the other group, IS West Africa, whatever province. They too, you know, the agenda is not, they are looking even West Africa. So Ghana is in their agenda eventually. You know, if you followed some of the security discussions at some of the international workshops, conferences and all that, the threat is a West African threat. It's not a they don't single out Nigeria alone, because for the security aspects, who know the modus operandi of some of these terrorist groups, and based on some of the intercepted information or those who they've arrested, some of their confessions and all that, their aim is not just Nigeria. They look beyond Nigeria, the borders of Nigeria, to take over the whole West Africa. And Ghana is high on their list as well. See, so when you see such a thing happening somewhere, it's the safest thing you can do as a safe country, quote unquote, like Ghana, is to learn and to know something about it. Because we cannot just pretend, oh, this is Obifi Asem. No. This one, if you treat it that way, it will be a big mistake. Then, you know, this week we've had 315 students, children, kids, I mean, 12 teachers abducted in Niger State. I mean, it's just, the number even was increased this afternoon. Then the CAC, the church, was having that Tuesday evening meeting in Kwara State on this Tuesday. And, you know, it's as if the terrorists are disgracing the Nigerian government the more, because whilst the government is sending delegations to the UN, so the US, the Congress, I mean, to go and lie that nothing is happening and all, defending all over the place, the terrorists are even doing more harm this week. This week, they've been very active. And they did it live. Live chess service was ongoing, Facebook Live and all. And they attacked. So the camera was on and you could see them entering, people running. The saddest part of it all was when this old, very old woman was struggling to also run. I mean, she can't run, an old woman, but she can. She's trying to force to move. It was so sad that the camera was on for about 5 minutes before someone rang the phone. So the attention came on the phone and it's like, oh, then before the signal went off. But at least the world saw something was happening, right? The camera was on. People saw it. And, you know, and yet they are denying. I mean, sometimes it just, it's amazing how this world is. But you see, in the midst of all this, the question is, as Christians, what did the Bible say about these times we are in, that will be hated for his name's sake, there will be persecution? You know, so when you look at the Nigeria scenario, it gives us a picture of what really Jesus talked about. And in as much as everybody would wish, no, okay, of course, not everybody, but it's as much as, I mean, most people would wish that this whole thing would come to an end and all that,
if we are really going by what the Bible said about the end time prophecies and all, it means it's even going to increase. I mean, that's what the Bible says. If you go to Matthew 24, the persecution and all. See, so this is something which the church in Ghana even should pay attention to. These are things we should also be talking about. See, because if we don't, we'll get to a point where, you know, let's say right now, the Christians in northern Nigeria are accustomed to it, that this is the Christianity they've subscribed to. I've been talking about this, I mean, for all these years, those who listen to this program, about like the Eastern Christianity, the Western Christianity, where in the Eastern Christianity, vis-a-vis the Chinese, the North Korea, places, Iran, all those places where you have the persecution against Christians, their mindset about Christianity is different from those in the West. Because those in these areas where they face persecution, and in this case, like Northern Nigeria inclusive, they know that they are being hated for what they believe in. And now it's a more of, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back situation. They've decided this is what they are in for, this is the deal. So they are following Christ till whatever happens, happens. So their mindset is like this song says, I've got my mind made up. You know, they've made up their mind that they are Christians. So come what may, they are in. Now, the same thing happening in the northern Nigeria. I dare say, if it moves south, those large, big churches in Nigeria that we see on online and TV and all that, the numbers will dwindle, because those at the southern part of Nigeria do not have the mindset of those like those in the north. Because those in the south are largely practicing the Dadaba Christianity. I talk about the Western Christianity of all is well, everything is fine type of thing. So there's a distinction. Those experiencing persecution have a different mindset. And those who see it from afar, oh, it's somebody else that is being persecuted, their perception about persecution is different. But the issue is, we can't run away from what the Bible says. We should talk about it. At least let people understand that these things can befall a Christian, and should it happen, what do you do and all that. See, so we can't pretend that, oh, it's not happening. We can't pretend that it's not necessary to talk about it. We have to, because if Jesus talked about it, how dare we say that we won't talk about it? Anyway, so he'll be joining us soon. He's Dr. Bola Adewara. I got this name right too. Okay, let me confirm the name right before. I just called him Bola, but the correct name, yes, Dr. Bola Adewara. Yes, I'm right. Yeah. All right. So he'll be joining. So trying to connect to him, then we. All right. Good evening.
Yeah. Good evening, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm well, and hope you are blessed. How are you too?
I'm okay. The Lord is good.
Okay. So you are live on Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi, Ghana, and yesterday I joined the Zoom workshop conference, and you know, I hinted earlier to you that I would want you to be part of our evening's radio program, so that we talk about this Nigerian issue. I've been talking about this for all these years on my program, almost every evening, every Saturday evening when I have the news, Christian news, and the persecution news. Most times there's Nigeria in it, so it's something my listeners are really not new to what is happening, and so yes, it's something which they are aware. I've been talking about it and all, but I would want you from Nigeria to really give them a for them to really hear from the horse's own mouth. Let me put it that way. So you start off with, you made some statements yesterday, and I would want you to start off with that before we proceed.
Yeah, thank you so much, my brother, and good evening to you all, people in Kumasi, our Christian brothers, Christian sisters, every one of you in Accra, Ghana, Kumasi, Tamale, everywhere. I know Ghana very well. I've been there a couple of times, and I give glory to God for preachers who God have blessed you with. Many of them are very familiar with us in Nigeria, and we are so glad that many of you are concerned with what is happening to us here in Nigeria. It's a very sad period for us, sincerely, because since the year 2009, well over 50,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria. Many of them in the north and in the middle belt. You know, Nigeria is divided into six geographical zones. We have the northwest, northeast, middle belt, southwest, southeast, and the south-south. The middle belt and the north is the most volatile now, simply for their faith, the Christians who are there. Reports by organizations such as the International Society for Civil Liberties and Rule of Law documented that about 52,250 Christians
Hello.
Are not mere statistics. They are the blood of our...
Okay, Bola, sorry. The signal went off a bit. So 52,000, you started from there. The signal went off at that point. So if you could recap from that point, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. I said that 52,000 Christian deaths between 2009 and 2023. Genocide Watch. Let me say it properly, if you would. To be aware. Genocide Watch adds that about 43,000 Christians have been hacked to death in just 12 years. These are not just statistics. These are the blood of our brothers spilled in fields, in villages, in towns, and in hamlets, in places where they worship, they lived, and they prayed. You see, even more haunting is the human cost. According to documented reports by Genocide Watch, about 10 million Christians have been uprooted, 6 million forced to flee, and about 4 million internally displaced.
Wow.
You see, entire Christian communities have been overrun. Over 500 of such communities in northern Nigeria have tagged or renamed or issued they are besieged by the extremists. You see, and more than 17,000 churches and Christian schools have been destroyed or attacked in that same period. This is not a kind of a random violence. We believe this is a campaign of erasure. This is what we call genocide. You see, what does this mean? When we say genocide, what does this mean? Beloved, genocide is not just killing. Under the Convention of the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, it means the intentional destruction in whole or in part of a group defined by religion, ethnicity, or nationality. The violence in Nigeria bears the imprint of that terrible definition. This is not a collateral damage. This is not a byproduct of insecurity. For many people in the northern part of Nigeria, being a Christian means bearing a mark, being a target. You see, these are some of the things we face in this area. Let me tell you more about the Boko Haram, because these are kind of people that these are set of people that we know very well. You see, when Boko Haram first rose in the northern part of Nigeria, their campaign was singularly in its cruelty. They targeted Christians. Yes, their first attack were not against all Nigerians indiscriminately, but explicitly against Christian villages, Christian worshippers, Christian pastors, and any Christian at all. They declared their goal in many of the early operations was the extermination of churches and annihilation of Christian adherents. During those early era, no Muslim leader in the northern part of Nigeria or in the southern part of Nigeria stood up to condemn the killing. They all pretended not to hear what was happening. As a Christian, we spoke on this silence. We mourned it. I repeat, even from the southern part of Nigeria, many of the Muslims did not say anything about this matter. But then, when the violence shifted, when the Boko Haram and other extremists began killing the Muslims too, voices of concern, condemnation, and outrage began to start. Suddenly, the crisis become more real, more visible, more known when non-Christians were among the victims. Some argued that they are killing Muslims too. They are killing Christians. But then we keep telling them that, look, friends, that narrative is deeply flawed. For a long time, the killing was concentrated on the Christian alone. There was no equal protection, no strong outcry, no meaningful intervention to shield our Christian siblings, especially in the Middle Belt and in the Northern States. And another thing I want to draw the attention of my listeners to is that when we are even talking about this genocide, it's not just about the killings alone. In the northern part of Nigeria, if you are a Christian and you want to build your church, they will never give you C of O. I don't know if you in Ghana know what we call C of O there. The C of O in Nigeria means certificate of occupancy. You don't have any right to build a church in northern part of Nigeria. Even if your children wants to go to school and study courses like medicine, like law, like pharmacy, they don't allow Christians. They don't allow Christians to do these courses, especially in state university, in state-run universities. In most cases, you have to change the name of your children. If your son is bearing John, or is bearing David, or is bearing Paul, you have to change that name to Abubakar, to Abdusalam, to just one Islamic name, before your child will be allowed to study medicine or law or anything in the state-run universities in northern Nigeria. And this matter still exists till date. The matter still exists till date. We want you Christians in Ghana to understand the challenge we are going through in Nigeria today. The matter is better in the southern part of Nigeria, in the southwest, southeast, south-south, and perhaps in the Middle Belt, where we have a very large concentration of Christians. But in the core north, like Sokoto, Ekano, Jigawa, Zamfara, Bauchi, you dare not. Many of the churches you find in these areas, in the northern part of Nigeria there, they don't have CFO. The state government will never allow them to have CFO. It means that when you don't have CFO, it means that your church can be demolished anytime. It means your church can be demolished anytime. We have called, we have begged, where is the protection for them? We recognize the sovereignty of Nigeria. We do not call for foreign boots, really. Many of us is when Donald Trump threatened that I will come to Nigeria. We do, actually we felt that the Nigerian military can contain these excesses, but the fact of the matter is that the Nigerian military is compromised.
Oh yeah, the terrorists are involved now.
And this happened when Buhari was in government. Mm-hmm. When some of these Boko Haram, some of these bandits were arrested, Buhari will tell us that they have been rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. And when they said they have been rehabilitated, they now absorb them into the Nigerian army.
What a mistake.
How do you rehabilitate terrorists? How do you bring terrorists into the Nigerian army? Now, today, these terrorists that have been absorbed into the Nigerian army, they are the ones now acting as the fifth columnist in the Nigerian army.
Yeah, and some have risen through their ranks.
Exactly. Now, if the Nigerian army wants to carry out any major operation against Boko Haram, they know how to inform them.
Yeah.
And before the Nigerian army gets there, they will find out that these people will lay ambush for the Nigerian army, and many of them will be killed.
And this week, a general was killed this week, a Christian general.
Exactly. The general Uba.
Mm-hmm.
A whole major general that have been trained with the Nigerian taxpayers' money was caught cheaply. And can you imagine the way he has been killed? This is the challenge we are facing in Nigeria. For someone like me, Bola Adewara, and the journalist, the president of NACJON, we believe that, look, we don't want any foreign boots in Nigeria. But the way things are right now, we tell Trump, come and come strong. We tell Trump, please come and save us from these Muslims, these terrorists. One of the challenges we're also having is that many of the Muslims don't want us to call them the Islamists.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to just name them as terrorists. But then the last time I checked, these terrorists were not members of the church.
Yeah.
They were not members of the Pentecostal movement. These terrorists were not members of the Methodist church. Neither are they members of the Anglican church. These are criminals who rose from Islam. And this is the challenge we are having today. It is easy for those of us in the southern part of Nigeria to condemn Donald Trump for his rhetorics, for his threats. But I ask them, can those of our own faith living under this constant threat condemn him in the same manner? If you have never known what it is to go to bed in fear, to bury your loved ones in mass graves, to watch your brothers and your sisters slaughtered, you may not know how fire feels upon the body of man. So please, do not condemn the cry of those who live in that fire all the days of their lives.
Yeah.
It is within this painful, urgent, and the sacred context that someone like me organized a conference recently, just yesterday. We do not gather for spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
We gather to amplify the voice of Christians in Nigeria who are dying, displaced, and devastated. We gather so Christians, we gather Christians all over the world, will know the truth. We gather so that Christians all over the world will know the truth of the matter. We gather so that the global church may remember its suffering members. And so we ourselves may respond with prayer, with advocacy, with solidarity, and with unflinching love. To every participant and to many of you listening to me tonight, pastors, journalists, our Ghanaian brothers, our friends from the church, thank you for being there for us. Your presence matters. Your prayer matters for us. Your voice matters. Let us resolve in this moment that you will not abandon the Christians in Nigeria, especially in northern Nigeria. Let this, my speech to you tonight, be not just an event, but a turning point, a call to wake you up, to speak up concerning the Christians in Nigeria here. And may God bless every one of you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your opening remarks. My biggest worry and disappointment is, in all that is happening, ECOWAS has said nothing. AU has said nothing. The UN is, well, trying to do something, and, you know, workshop and forum and all that. But, you know, the silence of African leaders and all is very deafening. And you know, when you look at the landscape of the way the continent is silent about what is happening in Nigeria, the message is clear. It means it's more of like, well, fight your own fight type of thing, and no one is really ready to help you out. Okay. The line went off. I'm reconnecting with him. Okay, sorry, the line dropped. Okay.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Uh-huh. So
yeah, it's so sad. It's so sad that ECOWAS has not been able to see anything, because the situation we are going through in Nigeria is even like a child's play when you consider what is happening in places like Mali,
Sudan.
And Sudan and so on and so forth. Because when Nigeria with our population is going through what we are going through, I just think that the West African nations must not keep quiet.
Exactly.
Because how many nations in this West Africa can contain Nigeria's population?
That's exactly the issue.
A country of about 250 million people. If one third of Nigeria rush into Ghana,
hey,
there will be destabilization. It will be terrible in Ghana.
It's true.
And that is why I want the church in Ghana to please pray that may there not be problem in Nigeria. Because if these Islamists overrun Nigeria, because their intention is to bury the Bible in the ocean.
Yeah.
And don't forget that one of them, that has been there, especially the Fulani people. These Fulani people, these people came from Futajalon, the Futajalon area there in Guinea. And now all of them, they scattered over all the northern parts of West Africa. And that is why we are having this problem all over the place. Their intention is to overrun the southern part of Nigeria, everywhere, and then turn everybody into Muslims. And this cannot happen. If we have to shed the last pint of our blood to defend our land, to defend our faith, to defend our children, to defend our generation, we will do this. I just pray that all the church in Ghana will come together and pray for Nigeria, especially the Nigerian Christians, that the voice of Ishmael, that the sword of Ishmael will not overtake the house of Isaac. I hope you understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. You know, this week I saw this issue of one news item where, it's an old news item, but someone was repeating it, that a Christian was in his farm, and then this Fulani herders attacked his farm, and he defended himself, and he was able to kill one. He rather has been jailed for life. And
exactly,
I was like, come on. I mean, where is the fairness?
Mm-hmm. The challenge is terrible, my brother. The challenge is terrible with the Fulani. We thought this thing will end when Buhari left government. But this Tinubu, that is even a Yoruba person from the southern part of Nigeria, he has not woken up to the realities of what is happening. And the challenge will even last for long, because the defense minister, this is the first time ever in Nigeria that you will have two defense ministers who are Fulani. The minister for state is a Fulani man.
Oh.
The minister himself is a Fulani man. The national security advisor is a Fulani man. How can Tinubu make this kind of error?
Wow.
How can Tinubu make this kind of error? And this is the challenge we are having. Now, if the Fulani man does anything in Nigeria, government will look the other way.
Mm.
It's as if the Fulani man is sacred. I don't really know how come the Fulani man will carry AK-47, and if you, an educated Nigerian, with your education, with whatever, apply to have a gun in Nigeria today, now it becomes very difficult for you to get it. Meanwhile, every Fulani man has this AK-47.
Wow.
And the issue now is that we are now telling all the Christians that all of you must apply for this weapon. It is not just sufficient for Christians to be praying, God save me, God save me. God will not come from heaven to save you. Christians must be told to be proactive. Christians must be told to also get guns. There is nothing wrong if you have gone to defend yourself. If any fool animal comes to my compound to attack my family, I'm ready to fire the gun, and I don't really care what happens to me. But certainly, no fool animal will run over this our land. No fool animal will run over my family.
But then I saw some of the commentary this week, and they were saying that the people were saying, the Nigerians in the discussion were saying their worry is Christians will not be permitted to own guns. They know by the bias system that you have now, they will not permit Christians, give them the permits to buy or own.
No one has stopped any Christian from getting guns. I think what has stopped Christians from getting guns is our theology.
Uh-huh.
The Christian theology, the pacifist theology of Christianity, that when they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. This has bastardized our ability to defend ourselves. Look at what is happening to them in the Middle Belt. The Middle Belt till date, despite the incessant killing, they've never woken up to the reality of getting guns. Rather, they will be mourning. Rather, they'll be calling on Jesus to come down. Jesus will never come down any longer.
But then, Bola, so if you look at it from this angle, then it becomes a very difficult situation then when, because we knowing the biased nature of your regime, like the government system, as soon as Christians get armed, the law will turn against them. Like this farmer who defended himself on a farm when he was attacked.
You see, the issue is this. You see, that very farmer that who was attacked and he killed, you see, what is wrong with the church? If the church rises up for this guy, it will not be as bad as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the Christian leaders in Nigeria, they are just interested in their own empire. Come to the southern part of Nigeria today. Majority of the Christian leaders in Nigeria today, especially in the southern part of Nigeria, they are interested in buying jets, in buying their own plane. Oh, that is it. They will never talk about the persecution of our brothers in northern Nigeria. It will be very difficult for you to find any one of them. Very few of the church leaders in the southern part of Nigeria will talk about persecution in the north. They don't know. And that is why majority of the Christians in the southern part of Nigeria don't understand what genocide is all about.
Wow.
In the southern part of Nigeria, these are psychedelic Christians. I call them psychedelic Christians because all they are looking for in Christianity is those kind of gospel that tells them about making money, that God will bless you. Oh, you go to church and you sit in an AC church. AC, a church that has air conditioner. These are the kind of Christianity we do in southern part of Nigeria. And largely because those people who call the church leaders, they are liars. Many of the church leaders in southern part of Nigeria, they are greedy, very selfish, and liars. Mention them. The Christian church leaders, the church leaders who tell their church members the truth, they are less than 20%.
Wow.
Majority of these so-called big names that you hear in the Nigerian church today, many of them are liars. Many of them are greedy people. All they are looking for is how to line their pocket with tithe and offering.
No, I watched one those people this that afternoon. I watched one this afternoon and he was actually laughing about the situation. I was shocked.
Exactly. Hey. Exactly. He was even laughing. He's even good at his laughing. Some of them would never even say anything about it. They wouldn't deny that there was persecution. Some of them would tell you that there's nothing called persecution. They would just tell you, oh, bring your tithe. That's what they're interested in.
How can you laugh over an issue like this?
And
the comments, people didn't spare him. I mean, it's seriously because, I mean, very disheartening to see how, even if we are talking of even unbelievers, for the sake of this discussion, let's even assume it's unbelievers who are being killed. You can't laugh over the death of an unbeliever.
Exactly.
So how much more
exactly
you have CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria, leaders are speaking, some are crying on, I mean, you see all these reports and you can laugh over this matter. I was exactly seriously, I was so disappointed.
This is sad. These are the things we see because they are not there. But you see, the Islamists, they are getting closer and closer and closer to the southern part of Nigeria. Today they are in Kwara State.
Yeah.
And immediately they get to that Kwara State, that is the state I come from. Immediately they get there, they start making their forays to different parts of the southwest.
Okay.
These are the challenges we are having. All of them in the southwest today. All of them in the southwest today, they are saying that we don't want Trump. We don't want Trump. The Christians in northern Nigeria who experience this challenge will never say such a thing. But I'm sure that if there is a bomb blast in any church in southern Nigeria today, all the Christians in the southern Nigeria today will never go to church again.
I was
saying because they have never experienced it before.
I was saying this before you joined by phone. I was saying it.
That's it. I was born in the north. I have traveled far and wide in the north. I have met with the mother of Lydia Sharibu, who was abducted. I have met with the wives of so many of the pastors who were killed.
Yeah.
I have gone around as a journalist, and I've seen all these things in another part of Nigeria. And that is why someone like me from the south cannot keep quiet. No, we can't keep quiet.
Yeah.
We can't keep quiet.
It's very unfortunate. My next question is the fact that I saw the army commander, the main overall commander, had been dismissed or removed from post after saying that all commanders should get to their, get busy and start doing their work. And I learned within some days he was removed from office. What can you say about that?
Exactly. It's so huge because now we thought that with Tinubu in government, the army commander, who is from southern Kaduna, yeah, one of the areas that have been devastated,
I think he's
by the Fulani people.
Christopher something. Or is it Christopher something?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. A Christian, yes. His area has been devastated by the Fulani people. Now this man is bringing that pain into power so that he will just push back this. But somehow, like I told you, the ministers, the three people who are holding the defense of Nigeria removed him.
Wow.
The minister, the politician had the power to remove him. And that's why this man was removed. When you kill the Fulani, they will tell you are killing them too much. Why are you killing them?
And I was shocked when I saw reports that there are areas where before, let's say tonight, the military will come around to the community and seize the arms of all the citizens, the innocent people. And then tomorrow, the Fulani herdsmen will come, and then they will come
the
and
will come. So, exactly, that is what we see.
So they disarm, the military will disarm the people before the attack will happen. And it's like...
The attack, exactly.
What is this?
It's so terrible. It's so terrible. And they are still bringing in these Fulani people from the Sahel. They are still bringing them from Niger, all those Tuareg soldiers, all the dogs of war in Mali. They are still bringing them into Nigeria.
Wow!
Because one of the governors said that every Fulani man has a right to live in Nigeria. The governor of Bauchi State, that any Fulani man anywhere in Africa has a right to live in Nigeria, and no one in Nigeria till date.
Oh.
We'll be able to check him.
I see.
And these are the challenges we are having. And that is why some people are saying that, look, Nigeria, we had better go our separate ways. Yes. Let the Northerners go their own. Let the Igbo go their own. Let the Yoruba go their own. That's what the challenge we are having. That's the challenge we are having.
Because I saw one report this afternoon in which the discussion, one cleric was saying that, he I've forgotten the name, but he says he fears that soon Lagos will be attacked.
Of course, the way things are going now, all of us in Lagos that we think we are even very far away from the reach of these people, it's like you cannot even sleep with your two eyes closed any longer. Mm-hmm. Everywhere now is like you are just waiting, because even in the southern part of, even in Lagos, there is like we have been surrounded by the northerners. Mm-hmm. All of them are here. All the Okada riders in Lagos today, in Southwest today, they are the northerners. Now you don't even know. How do you know the terrorists among them?
Yeah. So once they are armed, they just.
Exactly. Exactly. So the feeling is there that all of them, they have their guns, they have their weapon hidden somewhere. Because their vehicle keep entering Lagos every night, and they move in the night.
Yeah.
And there's no police by the road to check their vehicles. So there's that feeling that they've imported mass weapon of destruction into Lagos. And that is why anywhere you go to today, every Okada rider in Lagos today, they are all content. The fear is there that we have been circled. That is the challenge we're having. That we have been circled. Yeah. And that's why we keep telling the governor of Lagos State every day that, look, you people, the governor of Lagos State, the governor of the Southwest, all the governors in Southwest, you better wake up. Mm-hmm. Wake up. Don't let us be slaughtered by these people.
And you know, before you joined the line, I was telling my listeners that the earlier mandates of Boko Haram and ISWAP, their mission is beyond Nigeria. It's a West Africa thing. That's their actual agenda. But it's like Nigeria is the big boy. Once you take the big boy, now you are empowered to move beyond Ghana and all the others.
Exactly. That is their purpose. Because you know, when the war started in Liberia, Nigeria helped contain it.
Yeah.
When the war spread to Sierra Leone, Nigeria helped contain it. Now they want to destabilize the whole West Africa, and they know that the only country that can stop them is Nigeria, and that is why they are facing Nigeria now.
And after Nigeria,
now, by the time they finish Chennai, exactly, by the time they finish through Nigeria, they now come to Ghana, which is the second. Ghana is just like a brother to Nigeria. Now they go to Ghana, and if they can capture Nigeria and Ghana, they believe they've captured the whole West Africa.
Oh yeah, it's true. Once you get, I mean, military wise, Ghana and Nigeria, once you, I mean, the rest.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, so this is the issue. I've been telling my listeners, I mean, for a long time, these things, that you see, when you see it happening elsewhere, don't think it's somebody's house matter. So as for this one there, let them deal with it.
Exactly. I want the Christians in Ghana to be very aware. I want the Christians in Ghana, my listeners, if you are listening to me, tell your pastors, all of them, you see, when something is happening in your environment, know that it could happen to you.
Yeah.
It's Nigeria today. It could be Ghana tomorrow. May God forbid.
Yeah.
And if they destabilize Nigeria today and I rush to Ghana tomorrow, will you drive me away?
Yeah, we can't. No. You see, this is where the issue is.
Exactly.
And you see,
exactly.
I was telling someone just last week that just imagine just 1% of Nigerian population added to Ghana, our social system will collapse. We don't have the system to support extra 2
exactly.
million 2 million
we don't
people.
Have the system to support
the system.
It.
So
exactly.
It's in our interest for Nigeria to be at peace.
Exactly.
It's in our
economy, because if Nigeria is destabilized today, it means that Togo and Benin Republic will be destabilized.
Of course, yeah.
And then Ghana will now be the refugee camp. So please, and my brothers in Ghana, please pray for Nigeria. And then also, whichever way you can raise your voice concerning these dogs of war, these Fulani, please let us find a way to contain them now. Look at Ghana now. Look, they are doing it in Mali. They are doing it in Burkina Faso.
Niger, Sudan.
They are doing it in Nigeria.
Yeah.
In Niger, in Sudan. They are doing it all over. Their eyes will be on Ghana. May God forbid. may God forbid, just watch out.
Yeah.
Just watch out. Don't allow them to take root in Ghana. Don't allow them to take root in Ghana. And may the Lord protect every one of you there in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so listeners, this is Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi, Ghana. I've been speaking with Dr. Bola Adewara. He's been an old friend, and I don't think this is the end of this discussion. We'll get him another time to do further deliberations, because this is an ongoing issue, so we'll still get him another time. So, well, thank you very much this evening for your insightful discussion, and with my listeners, I believe people have learned something. I've been saying things, I've been talking about it, but coming from someone in Nigeria, it gives a different picture. I mean, the picture is different from when Eben Nkumasi is talking about it. All right, so thanks, Bola. Good evening, and God bless you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, my brother. You've been there for me for a very long time. We've been together since the early 2000s. And I pray the Lord will help you. The Lord will bless Ghana. Ghana, may the Lord bless you. Please, don't take chances with these dogs of war. Anywhere you see them, please extirpate and exterminate them immediately. May the Lord protect your country. May the Lord guide your leaders. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Bye. Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Bye. All right, listeners. So you heard it yourself. You know, I've been talking about this for anyone who is listening to Issues of Life, the new segment. I've talked about it several times, the Nigerian numbers, the persecution. Well, thanks to Donald Trump, he's made it an international issue now, and now the world is beginning to see the reality. So all across, from Australia, Sky News Australia, BBC, all of them are talking about it. And in the face of all this, the government is still... I watched the foreign minister on... Oh, what's this guy's program? It was pathetic and shameful. Complete lies. To say that all these years they've killed just 177 Christians have been killed. When estimates are ranging between 50,000 to 70,000, he says just 177. That interview was awful. But this is what's happening. I mean, God, the powers that be are on the side of the people perpetrating the thing. So they don't see. It's like, I mean, you are the... I even saw one report, one Sheikh person, I mean, saying that, this whole genocidal, videos of burials and all that, Christians are faking it. I said, what? Faking burials, faking all these, churches being burnt and all. Come on. You know, you can lie to a certain degree, but, you know, it gets to a point where your lie is no longer... Even a toddler that is born today can know that what you are saying is not true. But this is where we are, and we are now. This is what the Nigerian government is. They are virtually, and the president tweeted this week, the Nigerian president, that he was depressed. If you are depressed, then what should the citizens do? You know, come on. But it seems, you know, in the light of all that is happening as Christians, well, as Bula was saying, this is a wake-up call to Christians. You know, when we talk about some of these things, I remember last year elections, when you talk about some of these things, some Christians are just not understanding. They just don't get it, why we should be concerned and all that. It's not as simple as it looks. So, you see, because it's when you lack information, that's when you don't see anything wrong with some of these things. But when you are informed, like listeners of Issues are well informed by the grace of God, when you know what is really the agenda, you know what is happening. Those on my broadcast list, you know, do last year and all those times, you know, there were things I shared that I don't talk about on air. But, you know, you when you understand that there's a mission, there's an agenda in place being worked on, you just cannot ignore something, see these things and think, oh, it doesn't matter. No. Everything is planned. Everything. This Nigeria thing, it's all planned. Look at, I mean, let's look at Europe, for instance. What is happening in UK now? UK is finished. UK is gone. Germany is gone. Holland is gone. Ireland is gone. Norway gone. All these countries, virtually, it's almost too late now. It's only Poland that they had a wise leader who stopped this open migration thing. God, they said they wanted to protect their culture. So they built a wall and didn't allow the open migration. Germany and all who opened their borders and said, oh, let them come. The Afghans, Afghanistan, the Syrians and all came in. You see, what they don't know is they don't come as just coming as migrants. They are coming to come and change your system. And that is exactly what is happening. Now, Europe, I mean, UK, a friend just came from UK last week. She's telling Mr. Leben. I mean, she's been to London a number of times. She said, now, Charlie, London is sports. They are changing the system. Now, New York, they've elected one as their new mayor. I mean, New York is going to regret. Come on. You know, you go to US, Minnesota is now virtually Dearborn, Minnesota, and all those places. It's gone. I mean, I was so sad when there was one part in the U.S. The mayor now is, you know, he's one of them. And he was telling a Christian, a pastor in the city, who was questioning about the naming of, renaming of a street to the name of a terrorist, that if he can't understand, he should leave the city. He, the Christian who has been there, was born there, should leave the city. And you, the migrants who came in, and by virtue of their laws that can allow you, a migrant, to come and take position in the city, you are rather saying that he who was born there should leave because you people have taken over the place. And indeed, that's the issue. Anyway, let me just read one message. Good evening. My heart is bleeding. Ghanaian Christians should learn something from what's happening in Nigeria. We are not safe. The problem is worldwide. Yes, it's true. It's a matter of time. Okay. Mama Alice, good evening. Okay. Cynthia, good evening. Okay, Mrs. Ampetrum, okay. Very sad this evening. There's a lot more things. There's some things you can say on air and all that, but that's the reality. Anyway, Eben, the program is recorded. I'll upload it to spiritissues.info so that you can also share it with your friends and all that. But we have to pray for them, because if we don't pray for Nigeria, when Nigeria goes down, Ghana goes down. I've been telling people that when just 1% of Nigerians move to Ghana, our social system cannot support it. Ghana will go down because we don't have... Where are they going to sleep? Let's just say 2 million Nigerians come to Ghana. Where are they going to sleep? We have a housing deficit already. Where are they going to sleep? What work are they going to do? The social issues... Anyway, time is gone. God willing, next week, we continue. Good night and God bless you.